Thank you for joining our podcast. We hope that this message will both teach and encourage you. Here's today's message.
Can we just stay right where we are? Just keep your hand just stretched up to him. Just tell him nothing. Really, let it come and flow from your heart. Nothing compares to the promise I have in you. There's nothing on this earth, no relationship, no finances, no challenges, nothing. Nothing compares to you. You are higher, more majestic. You're bigger, greater. You fill all things to a fullness and then overflow. The heavens cannot contain you above. The earth cannot contain you beneath. You are worthy of our shout. You're worthy of our praise. You're worthy of being magnified. So, Lord, we just move into that zone with you right now. We hear the psalmist say, come, magnify the Lord with me. We magnify you. You are worthy. You are majestic. You are mighty. You save. You are mighty. You heal. You deliver. You set free. You change the course. You change the water courses of the world. You move the hearts of kings. Nothing is impossible to you. Nothing. You are majestic and mighty. And we just focus on that and we praise you. We praise you. We praise you. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Lord bless you as you're seated. Good to be here on a Wednesday night. And I think some people were afraid of tornadoes and hailstones or something. But, and we understand that some. Yeah. Jack was able to be here because something else canceled. Some others. Mike, my good friend Mike Lindstrom's here. I just want to recognize him. He's my brother in the Lord, and we enjoy each other's company. At least I enjoy his. You can ask him later about whether he enjoys mine. It's good to have him. He otherwise would be flying or doing working on a ranch or something. So it's good to have him here tonight. And it's especially good to have my friend and my brother and a gift to the body of Christ, Brother Dale Everett, with us tonight. Have you enjoyed so far? Sunday morning, sunny out, Monday, Tuesday. Amen? We're always in order to lift a clap offering, thanks offering to the Lord. Say, thank you, Lord, because we have gifts that have been placed in the body. And you know what happens when you're grateful for gifts? What? What happens when you're grateful for gifts? You get more.
Well, sure.
I thought I heard somebody say that.
That's
you get more. And,
right.
And then you're opened up more to the function of that gift. And so with gratitude and thanksgiving to the Lord, we say welcome and we thank the Lord for you, Brother Dale, if you come and minister.
Thank you, Pastor. I think I can speak for Debbie as well as myself as I say how much we have appreciated you and the way that you have responded to the ministry and coming out here. So many of you night after night after night. And for your giving, for your participation, bringing others. You know, your pastor and his wife are special people to us. And I'm going to just say to her and to the whole worship team, because I know it's a team effort, thank you so much for every night being faithful, every night coming out, playing, giving glory to the Lord with us, leading us in that way, as well as for those that have done such an excellent job back in the audiovisual booth back there. We appreciate your kindness too. You know, you don't understand how beneficial folks like that are till they're not. And Pastor, I suppose that you, like me, have had times where we've had to do it all. At least I did. I know when I planted the church down in Tyler, turn on the lights, turn off the lights, open the door, lock the door, turn on the PA system and hope they got it worked for the whole service, because no one was back there to push the buttons. So let me say I appreciate those of you that have cared enough to be out in this very way. And you know your pastor is a remarkable man. He really is. His insights, the wisdom of God within his life, his care for the body of Christ and his love for Jesus is very obvious, and it shows in that way. That's all right. Some people do anything for attention. I didn't say that out loud, did I? Oh, my God. Well, you can do that when you love each other, can't you? And you guys have really taken our heart last year and this year again. It's been a lot of fun. It truly has. And I trust if Jesus tarries, we can do it again. Yes. Amen. Now, as you remember, when you leave tonight, please pick up some of the CDs that are in the back. Last thing I need to do is drag them back to Chicago with me, and you will be blessed by them. This is one of the new series that we did since we were here last time, called Five Things That Happened at the Cross. There's three areas that I tell people I believe God's given me greater insight to for preaching. One of them is prayer. And if you actually go to our table and also to our website, daleevert.org, where there are even more materials, you'll find more teaching on prayer there than any other one subject. I've said it probably here every night because I passionately believe it, and that is that no one grows above their prayer life. You got to, and not just knowledge, you got to do it. Hello? You know, it's interesting. We have sometimes even, like, what do you call them? Like conferences, prayer conferences. People come in and they get teaching all day long in prayer, and as soon as they're through with the teaching, they all run out to Pizza Hut. And like, you know, and they take a lot of notes, but anyhow, good stuff back there. The blood is another one that God's given me great insight, and anything on back there on the cross, or the blood, and of course, faith is an area that God's given me extraordinary insights to. So all the materials back there are good, but I focus on just a few of them. But this is a great one. Great things that happen at the cross, you would be you'd be strongly blessed by. Amen. Are you ready for God's word tonight? There is a simple passage I'd like to look to. It's found in the book of 1 John, the second chapter, and verse 20. 1 John 2 and verse 20. And maybe you'd enjoy standing when I read scripture. Sometimes I do that just in honor of the word of the Lord. Boy, this nation needs to learn honor again, don't they? They really do. But anyhow, it's a great way to honor God is 1 John 2 and verse 20, and you know we're going to anoint people with oil tonight. The scripture says, but you have an anointing from the Holy One. And there's more to the sentence, but I'm going to ask you a question. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? You have an anointing from the Holy One. And all of you know the truth. You may be seated. That's all I'm going to read right now. It's not just what you have in Christ or what you are in Christ. It's what you believe you are that will make a difference in the application and in the outcome of your life. Truth is God, and I've said this a lot, God's done more in us than what we know. I've spent very little time as of late asking God to do things in me. I've just asked God to open my eyes to what he has done. Because I think that he has worked a work within our life and in our spirit, in our entire existence that is absolutely extraordinary. The Bible says you are his workmanship in Christ Jesus. You're his workmanship. Do you understand God never makes duds? There are no irregulars that come off his assembly line. There are no flaws in his workmanship. I know he did a great job in Moses. I think he did a wonderful job in Elijah. I look at David and others like that, and Paul, oh my, come on, you know, and John. But the same one that made those guys, do you understand, in Christ, he made us as well. But sometimes we look at them, we say, what a wonderful job you did there, Lord. And then we look at ourselves and we think, well, boy, you must have had an off day when you made us. But he doesn't have off days. You are his workmanship. But what he's worked within you must be applied, it must be released, it must be acted upon, or that which he has done will never be unveiled, will never be shown. So you've got to buy into it. The idea of believing is not just like trying to conjure up some amazing fantasy faith. The idea of believing is just embracing. You have an anointing from the Holy One. I'm talking about anointing. When we anoint you with oil tonight, this is for the purpose not only of impartation, but of the release of the anointing of God within your life. It's kind of like a catalyst moment that happens in that. When I've had the opportunity to have great men of God lay hands on me, and believe me, when I'm around a great man of God, he gets to lay hands on me whether he wants to or not. I pull on that. I pull on that. When I was leaving my last pastor on a Brother Schambach's property and we were together, I remember we spent a lot of time together, but this moment was one of the last moments, and we happened to be right in the foyer. It was right at the entrance exit doors of the facility, and we were standing there, and he said to me, man, is there anything I can give you as you're going? You know, I would keep my office there for probably another year, I would be on the road full time. I'm on the road about 300 days or so out of the year, and so I would hardly see anybody anymore. And he says, is there anything, any of the materials, any of the books, any of the stuff like that? And while I appreciated that, I says, here's what you could do. I knelt down. I said, just lay your hands on me one more time. We would be and when he would do his big camp meetings, oftentimes the last night, he would anoint people with oil. And I would be I was the pastor of the church, but I was also, in a crusade setting, they call him a platform man. And what that meant, while I may speak or something during those services, my main job was to keep things rolling. I was the guy that opened up. I was the guy that made the transitions to the offering, to a testimony or song or him coming up to speak and concluding the service, that kind of thing. That was my part there in those large events. And so when he would finish preaching, Debbie and I went to be with him, and he was in his latter years of life, and he was in his 80s by the time he finished there. And I remember how when he would finish his message and he'd give the altar call for salvation, because that was such a passion of his heart, when as soon as he finished that altar call, I would signal one of the guys that would come and take that pulpit out of the way, and then another man would come and bring a big chair and set it down. It was one of the chairs like what you got there. And then I would come alongside like this, and I'd hold my arm out, and he'd take a hold of it, and he'd settle down in that chair in his mid-80s. And I would take a cloth and throw it over his lap, and my associate then would come and bring the oil, which in the way Brother Schambach did it, he had to have a 5-gallon bucket of oil. It was literally one of those orange Home Depot buckets, you know, filled with oil. Am I right, Debbie? And oh, Lord, he'd take his whole, and he'd reach down, he'd roll his sleeve up, take his whole arm. He put his hand, he didn't stop till his hand hit the bottom of that baby. And he pulled his arm out, and I'm going to tell you, he slapped oil on you. You were anointed. And you were soaked, you know. And this would go on. And the place would be jammed, and they'd come in a walking line, and this would go on until everybody had been anointed. And sometimes that'd be several hundred people. And I'd watch him as he's coming to the last few, and sometimes I'd be approaching the late hours of the night. And he'd come to that last one. Sometimes he'd think he was done. See, I'm standing alongside of him, and sometimes he'd start to get up, and I would gently touch that shoulder of that man, and I'd say, there's still one more. There's still one more. Sometimes I'd just jump down from the stage and before him. Remember one night I did that because he thought he was done, and I jumped down in front of him, and he had his hands on his lap, and I gently took a hold of him by the wrist and put that old gentleman's hand on my head, and I said, there's still one more. But you've already done that 3 times this year. Yeah, I know. There's still another moment. I believe in anointing. I believe there's extraordinary things that happen in anointing moments. You can draw on them, and they will draw on you. They will bring up like a well the grace, the gift, the power of God within you. But here's what you have to do: you have to believe you got it to begin with. Because if you don't think you have anything, then there's nothing to pull on. But I'm here to tell you tonight, just straight up, I'm here to tell you tonight, you've got an anointing. You do. It came at the moment of your conversion. When you were born of the Spirit, when he put his seed within you, he put in you a divine design. And in that divine design was your destiny. And in that was also the capacity to fulfill that. He has not designed you to do something that he's not enabled you to do. And anointing is enablement. It is supernatural enablement. It is beyond the talent of flesh. The IQ of the brain is an anointing of God that is absolutely, absolutely phenomenal. So how do you have an anointing flow? Because that's what I ask for. I pray when I come into these services, I ask for a functioning, a flowing anointing. I guess if there's anything, if anything would be worse than having no anointing at all, is having an anointing that's all capped up. That it is there, but it's all sealed up. It's not going anywhere. Well, what does it take to have an anointing flow within your life? Here's a simple word. I want you to say it out loud to me, because this is a key word to having an anointing flow in your life. And that word is availability. Would you say availability? Yeah, availability. Catherine Kuhlman used to say it like this. She said, God can use our availability more than he can use our ability. Well, I believe that lady was right with that. I'm going to play pastor for just a half a second, all right? I used to have my churches repeat this sentence periodically throughout the year. I would make them come back to this and actually say this with me. So why don't you say it with me? And this is what I'm going to tell you what we're going to say, then we'll say it together. And this is what I tell them. My availability gives God an opportunity to work a miracle through me. Would you say that with me? My availability gives God an opportunity to work a miracle through me. Let's say that again. You sound good. Come on. My availability gives God opportunity to work a miracle through me. Availability. So how do you make yourself available to the working of God? Well, trust me, it's not sitting around like a zombie saying, here I am, use me. Availability is responsiveness. Availability is stepping up to the plate. Availability is crossing the line. Do you understand that? But let me tell you something else that ensures functional, successful availability. And that's what my mentor taught me. He would say to me over and over and over again, I don't know if I ever preached, but I mentioned something about him because he made such an impact in my life. But he said this to me again and again. He said, Dale, if you're going to be successful in what you're doing, then you cannot leave yourself an out. You cannot leave yourself an out. You must shut every window and every exit. And you then you must go directly toward what the goal is, because if you have an exit point, when the pressure comes on, you'll dump out. So the way that you are successful is you shut every door, you shut every exit, you shut every window, and you head directly and only. You see, you literally corner yourself where you cannot do anything but trust God. You have to trust the Lord, because you've cut all other things out of the picture. If you want to have, you want to make yourself available to God, that's what you got to do. You got to remove all of the exits. Because let's face it, come on, when pressure comes on, don't we duck out? Whatever it takes, you got to figure out how you're going to accomplish that in keeping with whatever your goal is or your purpose is. But you got to shut all the exits to be able to make it all the way. So availability happens in part by opening yourself to what God is doing, embracing that, stepping up to the plate, and shutting all exits. So you say, well, that's great. How does one prepare their life for that? Because you don't just say, oh, that's a good idea, I'll just do that. Let me tell you, to shut all the exits, to take all the outs out of your life, I'm going to tell you something, you're going to have it in you to do it. It's a great idea, but you got to have it in you to do it. What is it that prepares a man for that? Well, I found some of the things that helped me make myself available to the anointing of God. I'm going to share four of them with you right now, and it won't take me all night to do that. How many believes that? There's only two people that raised their hand, and two of them were joking, and the other one had never been here before, so he doesn't know. All right, here's the first one I'm going to tell you that helps you make yourself available to the anointing of God. And that is, and you're going to have to listen to my language now, that is to wait upon the Lord. Learn to make a lifestyle of waiting upon. I didn't say waiting for God. We've already addressed that in other nights. I'm talking about waiting upon the Lord. The writer says, those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. He goes on and on and talks about it. The concept there, when he talks about waiting upon the Lord, is not someone sitting around in an outside room waiting for God to come, but it's rather someone who is waiting upon him, much like a waiter would wait upon a table or wait upon a people. It's a matter of serving. Do you understand that your first service is unto the King, not unto anyone else? And that what you don't do in the worship room, what you don't do in the prayer room, you'll never be able to do on the platform. Now, I use that in an iconic sense, but you understand that. I hope you understand that in every area of your life. What's not known in private will never be demonstrated with power in public. If you really want to be successful, you need to learn to wait upon the Lord. I remember the first sermon that I ever preached to an adult audience. Pastor, do you remember the first time you preached to an adult audience? I don't remember all the times I preached, but honey, I remember that first time. I remember that very first time that I would preach to an adult audience. I was 15 years old. The anointing for healing had already been functioning within my life. Actually, the healing flow started in my life. Probably it was right in the neighborhood of about 6 months before preaching opportunities ever open up. It wasn't a matter that I was preaching revivals, preaching events, and then God began to answer prayer and heal the sick. It was just the opposite. Miracles were happening first in my life as a young man just on the streets of Niagara Falls. I would go to the waterfalls and I would testify. I loved to do street witnessing is what I did. And from the very beginning, my street witnessing was in cooperation with the demonstration of the Spirit and power. I would say, this is what he said, and now this is what he'll do. So I'm telling you who he is, and he'll show himself through signs and wonders and power, and I'd pray for the sick right there on the park benches in Niagara Falls, and God would heal people. They did the same thing in my public high school, not a Christian high school, in a public high school, and God worked miracles in there, and then I would go to the hospital at least once a week and minister healing to people there. I've heard people say, well, man, if you got a healing gift, why don't you go to the hospitals? That's how I started. That's what I did. I would go to the hospitals. No one was bringing me to a pulpit. Good night. I was 15 years old. So I just went and started demonstrating the kingdom that way. And some people figured it out, found out about it. Some pastors said to me, good night, man. If you could have miracles on the streets, maybe you can come to our church and have miracles. And I said, you know, well, I don't know if it'll work in a church, but we can try. We can try, you know. And so I began to preach. I began to preach in adult audiences. And I remember that first time. And prior to going on out, you know, here's what you do. You get on your face before God. Am I right, preacher? You almost never pray quite like you did that very first time, you know. And what you never do is you don't strut. I could promise you, anybody that's ever stepping up to the plate for the first time, they're not in that back room. You don't go in that back room and say to God, well, they're all going to see how it's really done now, aren't they, God? Oh, yeah, it's about time. I mean, when this boy comes out of the chute, I'm going to tell you right now, everybody's going to be dropping their jaw. Oh, no, what you do is you fall down on your face and you scream out, oh, God, if you don't help me, I'm going to die out there tonight, is what you do. But I was calling out in the Lord, and he spoke a word to me that I have never written down. I didn't have to because he wrote it on my heart. And he said these words real plain to me. He said, Dale, if you want to be effective in touching the people and bringing healing and deliverance to them, and I already knew that's what my call was. He said, Dale, if you want to be effective in touching the people and bringing healing and deliverance to them, then remember. Remember, he paused and he said it again. Remember, you must always touch me first. And I've never forgotten those words. They ring in my heart to this very day. And anytime I step into a room to declare his word, I understand I can't count on yesterday's oil. I need something fresh from him. I need something fresh from him. Waiting upon the Lord is very crucial to having an anointing flow within your life. It's there. It's there. But if you're going to harmonize with it, you've got to come into touch with him. That's what brings you in sync with that which already is. Another thing that I find that helps people make themselves available to the anointing of God in their life is to sensitize themselves to the Spirit. You understand what I mean by that word, sensitize yourself. When you're sensitive to something, you're aware of something. Your fragrance in a room, when you first walk in a room, you're very much aware of it. But sometimes, when you hang in the room long enough, you don't smell it anymore. Whether it's a positive smell or whether it's a negative smell. Am I right? Sometimes you become desensitized to it. We need to learn what it takes to sensitize ourselves to the Spirit. If you've ever gone to one of those more fancy restaurants where they have multiple courses to a meal, a lot of times what they'll do, if they've got, let's say they're having a four-course meal or a five-course meal, they'll bring out the first course, and then the in-between, well, before they bring you the next course, they bring you a plate on it, and on that plate is a little small thing, sometimes like a little sorbet or something like that. It's hardly more than a teaspoon. You're going to think, good night, what in the world is this? I hope the portions aren't going to be this small the rest of the meal, or we're going to go out of here hungry. But that's really not for eating. It's for something, for what they call it, for cleansing the palate. And what they'll do is when you eat what is there, when you partake of what is there, it just kind of removes from your tongue everything that was, so that your taste buds are right open to what's coming next. Now, you need to learn how to sensitize yourself to the Spirit. You need to know how to awaken yourself to the spiritual realm. It's there. It's not like you got to bring it about. It's always there, but sometimes we're very desensitized to that which is present because of this also present world. Now, there's a lot of things I could say that will help you with that. I hope you understand, but I will say it anyhow. But I hope you understand that living free from sin will sure help you become sensitive and remain sensitive to the spiritual realm. Nothing will dull your senses worse than what sin will do. But it doesn't take sin to do it. It just takes activity. It just takes getting so involved with the stuff and the things of this world. Not even corrupt stuff. Just things of this life that can keep you so preoccupied that you miss that which is right before you, which is right at hand. And so at times you have to just literally close down. Or let me say it in another way. Are you ready for this one? You'd have to learn how to sanctify yourself. Now, there's a word you don't hear about in churches too much anymore. But to sanctify means to set apart. And sometimes you just have to learn how to sanctify yourself, which doesn't mean you're getting all weird or something. You're just pulling back, you're drawing together so that you can open up to that which is within your life, a grace of God and a gift of God, an anointing of God that will flow, but not if you're distracted. If you're distracted, it won't. So you have to focus on that. And you have to learn what are the things that distract you and what are the things that attract you. What is it that attracts you to the presence of the Lord, and what are the things that distract you from the presence of the Lord? Determine what those things are, and then practice. Practice the de-emphasizing of the things that distract, and practice the things that open your heart up to the things of God. All right? Another thing that helps us make ourselves available to anointing flow is to follow the prompts of the Holy Spirit. Follow the prompts. Well, Dale, that's so simple. Well, listen again now to what I'm saying. Follow the prompts of the Spirit. Follow the prompts. Don't analyze the prompts. Now, did you hear it? Did you really hear that? That will make you available to an anointing flow, because I find when the Spirit prompts me, I'm flesh like you, and I tend to analyze a lot. All right, maybe not as much as others, and maybe more than others, but I tend to do it to this very day. Even the consistent things that happen in my life, I tend to analyze. And sometimes I just need to awaken to them. Sometimes it's analyzing them. You know, it's like, is that really God? I don't know if that's God. I don't think that's the voice of the Lord. Surely the Lord's not saying that. And then you start trying to figure it out. I have to back that out. And sometimes I just need to awaken to them so I can move with them. When I talk about like the healing streams that come in the room, they're usually things I pick up, and I do have a visual, but it's a spiritual visual that comes to me, not necessarily an open vision. But they do come in different ways. Sometimes I hear them. Sometimes they come in different fashions. But in fact, the next church that I'll be preaching at is a church also I've been to multiple times, and the pastor's daughter does the worship there and does a wonderful job at it. And they're a rather conservative group. They're an HE group, but rather conservative group. I mean, put it this way, and I'll say no more than this. When she'll lead worship, she'll often, if she's wearing anything other than a dress, it'll be a jean skirt. All right? Did I just say something to some of you? Do you understand when I talk about conservative now? All right? And so I was in there this last time a couple of years ago, and she's leading worship, and the it's a nice auditorium and very well lit. The stage is as bright as I've ever seen a stage. It's going to be beautiful for video kind of work. But she raises her hands, and she's worshiping the Lord, and good God, right here, just like that, in the form of what looked like an hourglass, was a tattoo as dark as the back of this right here. And it was this long and that wide. And I'm sitting on the front row looking at my iPad, my notes, worshiping a little bit with him and looking at what else. I looked up and I thought, look at her. How about that? Can you believe it, man? She's got a tat right there on her wrist. I said, I can't believe it. I said, I can't believe her dad would let her do it, you know? And I just didn't pay any attention. Looked right back down at my iPad for a few moments again and looked up again, and she had her hands up and it wasn't there. And I was like, well, what in the world was that all about? I thought, what in the, I couldn't believe it. I thought, what is that? And rubbed those eyes. I thought, well, maybe it was a shadow. But I thought, no, this audit, that stage was lit. Most of the times churches are lit like caves. Photography is my hobby. If you go to my Facebook and you look at it, you'll see pictures of our crusades. But then once in a long while, like Debbie and I was in Israel and Turkey before we come here, I'll do some what I call perspective shots of an area and in photography. So I'm very aware of lighting. And I looked, I thought, no, this stage is perfectly and evenly lit. I said, but I thought for sure there was a big old tat on her. You know, I said, oh, well, there you go. And I just looked back at my iPad for a minute, looked up, and good night, there it was again. Just as clear as a bell. I'm looking, look at that thing. It's just right there. How could you miss it, you know? And then I said to the Lord, that went on one more time. I looked up, it was gone. I looked back up, and there it was. And I thought, okay, I was a little slow. I said, oh, God, are you talking to me? And he said, tonight there will be great healing in the wrists of people. It will actually be joints and bones, but you're going to hear a lot of testimonies in the wrists. Wow. And we were flooded with it that night. In fact, I noticed when I got through preaching, before I prayed out like I'll often do, I said, let me call out the things I saw. And just before I started talking about that, I noticed she was on the back row and she was doing this with her hand. She was bending those fingers back like this. Usually when I see it over someone, it doesn't necessarily mean they need it, but she was the first one up the aisle. And she had had something like a carpal tunnel syndrome issue in her wrist with such severe pain that she used to play the piano. I noticed she didn't play it during that meeting. Her husband also plays marvelously, so I just figured she was doing the front and center lead. She said, oh, I haven't been able to play the piano, hardly move my wrist. She says, and if I'd have bent my fingers back like that, you'd have heard me scream through this whole building. She said, but somewhere during your preaching, all of that left just like them. By the end, she's doing this kind of thing, you know. Here's what you got to do. You got to sensitize yourself to the Spirit, because you can be very unsensitive to it. And you got to follow the prompt, but you got to wake up to that prompt. And when you get it, you got to act on it. Because if you don't act on it, it won't be released. Are you hearing this? I'm telling you, you've got more than you know. You just need to step out on it. You would be shocked if you would step out and start doing the stuff you already know instead of praying for more. Before you start anything, just start using what you got, and believe me, it'll blow the walls down. It'll blow the walls down. Follow the prompts of the Spirit. Follow instead of analyzing. You say, well, what if I'm wrong? Well, it won't be the first time. And you lived through it, didn't you? Come on. You see, missing it isn't the problem. It's the fear of it. Did you hear that? It's the fear of it. So go ahead and step out. If you miss it, then you'll just figure out what it isn't. But if you sit back in fear, you'll never know one or the other. You won't know when you're on or when you're off. Just get past the fear. I know you think everybody thinks you're all that, but and we do love you, but get real. Get real. All right. Oh, Lord, we should have taken the offering first, shouldn't we? Yeah, we should have done that. Yeah. Yeah. Am I helping you at all tonight? All right, let me give you the last one. The last one I'm going to tell you, and there's surely more than this, but this is where I'm going to finish it up. How do you make yourself available to an anointing flow? One is shutting all the doors, and then you wait upon the Lord, and you sensitize yourself to the Spirit. You follow the prompts of the Holy Spirit. You don't just second-guess them, analyze them, sit out in fear, all right? And the final one is so crucial to all of this, and I've already alluded to it in my last crass statement, and that is this: you got to die to self. You got to die to self. You cannot be concerned with yourself first and still be useful to God. You can't. Catherine Kuhlman would often pray behind the curtain before she'd step out. And she even would say it when she came on stage. She says, when I was back there, I was dying 1,000 deaths. The Apostle Paul, he said, I die daily. See, I don't know what your flesh is like, but I'll tell you about mine. I can crucify this flesh, but my flesh has amazing resurrection capabilities. Is there anybody else in the room got that? Oh, he can stand up on his hind legs just about 3 minutes after I crucified him. And I don't know where I stand in the kingdom in relationship to the Apostle Paul, but somehow I feel like I'm not quite in the neighborhood. And I'm thinking, if that guy said I die daily, then Dale Everett's probably got to die about every 15 minutes. But it really does take that. It takes that dying to self in order for this to work. For an anointing flow to be in your life. You know, the biggest plug to the anointing flow isn't the devil, it's you. It's really true. You know, you go to that hospital room, your friend is sick, and you know what the Bible says, that the Lord is the one who heals, and if you lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. And you've gone there for that purpose. You've gone there not just to visit them. You've gone to pray with them, to believe God with them, to come out of that hospital well, and all the rest. And you walk in that room with all those intentions. But good night, you did not realize when you walked in that room that half of his family was in there. And you know that they aren't even believers. And then when you're trying to get past that, now, come on, now the doctor and the nurse walks in. Now what am I going to do? Are you getting the picture yet? So what if I pray and nothing happens? I mean, really? I mean, what if I pray and there's no change? And besides, what will they even think of me? I mean, who am I? It's not like I'm a pastor or something like that. They're going to say, well, who are you to do that kind of thing? And what? Who do you think you are? And oh, by the way, did you notice how many I and me's was in all of those sentences I just used? You see, you'll never be effective in bringing healing to the sick person when you're more concerned about yourself and how you look and how you appear than about the sick person getting well. But when the sick person getting well is more important to you than what people will say of you, think of you, or how they'll look of you, you'll be right in the spot where the miracle can happen. You got to die. You got to die. And you know, God understands that, and that's... You understand that's the first thing he does. I tell people, you know, when people come to Christ, and some people say if you come to Jesus, your life will be great. It's going to be happy. It's going to be just wonderful. You know, all your problems are going to go. You're going to have joy. You're going to have answers to prayer. It's going to be, and there is truth to that, but it's not all of the truth. I'll tell you, the first thing that happens when you come to Christ, the first thing he's going to do is kill you. He's going to put to death the old man. That's what he does. And then he raises up a whole new man in his place. He doesn't take what you are and de-emphasize the bad stuff and blow up the good stuff. He takes all the stuff, all of it, and takes it completely out of the way. Now, you got to follow that same pattern. That's what you got to do. And if you'll do that, if you will die to self, you will find it'll cause an anointing flow to happen within your life without that death repetitively. There'll often be a blockage of what God will do or can do through your life. Amen. Would you stand with me, please? See, what I don't want to do is lay hands on you, anoint you with oil tonight, and you have no clue what in the world you're doing. Okay, so the guy slapped oil on my forehead. So what was that all about? Well, it's about that release of God. And let me explain something. I know a lot of folks will say this moment like this is the oil. It is a symbol of the Holy Spirit, but they say it is just symbolic, is what it is. Well, no. I'm going to challenge that for just a minute. I'm not going to try to tell you that the oil that we've got here is some special secret oil that we got out of Israel while we were over there. And we're almost sure it was wiped off the brow of Bartholomew. I don't think that's what's going on here. But it's more than a symbol. You say, how so? I don't believe that there's anything that we do in obedience to the Word of God that isn't also being done in the Spirit as we're doing in the natural. You get that? So, the Bible says, if you lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. And so I'll put my hands on the sick, but I understand something. There's another hand. There's someone else. It's not this hand. This is this symbolic? Sure. But it's not all symbolic. There's something going on in the spiritual realm. Not in theory, but in reality. That's harmonizing. That's locking right in. Is right there in that moment. And I believe when we anoint you with oil in the name of the Lord Jesus tonight, that this oil I'm going to put on you will be visible. You'll feel it. You'll wipe it off. Yeah. But I think he's going to put some oil on you. And I think that's going to be visible too. Now, it may not be visible to this eye, but it'll be visible to some eyes out there. I really believe that. I believe that when you, I believe it's visible to the eyes of those in the Spirit. I think that when you walk into that room and the enemy has been very active, he looks up and he'll see that on you. He will. He'll say, good. Oh no. We got trouble. Just walked into the room right now. I don't just think the devil's seed either. I think that we have a cooperating group called angels. And I think when you walk in, we'll just say that hospital room, it actually could just be your place of business. When you walk in and that person that's next to you in the desk they're ripe for the gospel. And maybe they've been under attack too. When you walk in, those that are there to assist will say, okay, here we go. We got one right now. That anointing flows through. It'll be seen. You want to be aware of that. It's going to be a mark of God on you. Would you worship him with me for just a minute and bless him? You're the Almighty God. The anointing that comes upon these people right now, Lord, I believe will not just be for tonight, this week. I believe it's going to run from generation to generation. I believe that power of God, that blessing of God, is not going to cease. It's not going to cease. It's going to go from generation to generation to generation. Come on, bless his name. I worship you. You know, before we anoint you tonight, because once I anoint you, here's what I want you to do. When I lay the oil on you, I want you to take some time. Don't walk right out of that anointing moment. take some time. You don't have to stay here all night long, but take some time. Either kneel down somewhere or right back at your seat. But don't just get the oil on you, wipe it off, and go on out the door. I mean, if the hour has come, you just have to leave, I understand. But if it's not that way, don't just walk right out of that moment. I've seen people before where God moves on them, and I don't understand what they do. They just boogie right out. I've actually seen people, you understand what I mean by falling under the power? All right, that's not something that happens a lot in my ministry. I believe in it. It happens at times. It's not a feature of my ministry by anything, by any means at all. But I've had it happen in my life, and I've seen it happen to people, and I've been so surprised at people that they'll run under the power of God, and they just pop right up. They pop right up, and I'm thinking like, whoa, wait just a minute. Maybe he had an idea for you down there. Why don't you hang around for a minute and see what that was all about instead of just popping right up and walking away, you know? No, I'm not trying to encourage you to fall down tonight. And if you do, that's all right. But try not to bump into anybody. But when we anoint you with oil tonight, why don't you soak in it for a little bit? Sit in it for a moment. Kneel in it. Let them talk to you about you. All right? Let's do that. So let's not receive the offering at the end. I don't want to receive it at the end. Because I don't want to interrupt that flow. I don't want to stop that. Is that all right? We talked to you earlier this week about this night's offering being for our international ministry, predominantly for our African outreach is what it is. We're going to do Europe as well, and it's actually going to be African leaders that are coming together from the European nations, most of them West Africans, Nigerians, that are planting churches in Europe. I don't know if you understand where Europe's at right now, but from what we're told, in Western Europe, less than 2% of the population of Western Europe goes to any kind of a church on a Sunday. Any kind of a church. Debbie and I ministered in France, and they told us less than 0.5% of the nation goes to any kind of church. I'm watching the burning of Notre Dame last night, and all these people standing out there crying, and I'm thinking, when was the last time you even walked in the door? But anyhow, we're going to be reaching into Europe out of London, teaching, ministering unto leaders there. But the majority of our ministry this year will be in East and West Africa, in Tanzania, Kenya, and in Nigeria, open air crusades where literally thousands and thousands will be coming to hear the gospel. You can be seated for just a moment. Our first meeting is going to be north of Mwanza in Tanzania. It'll take me pretty close to 50 hours from the time I leave Chicago to the time I get to the hotel. That will be there. And then we'll rest a day and begin the crusade. And the next day after that, the Assemblies of God is bringing 50 to 60 is what I'm told of their national evangelists and young men that they want me to train doing what we do and bringing the gospel to people, but not only with signs and wonders, but in the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And to do that, I have to house them. I have to feed them. I get to house them and I get to feed them, because they don't have the means for that. They don't have the means. They're going to be able to get to me, and that's going to be the end of it. We've got to take care of them from there on out. And so, and that's not, the bill that on that's only $1,000, which isn't bad for all those guys in hotel rooms and the food for them. And then, of course, the cost of the crusade and all the rest. So I'll just give you an idea. When you give tonight, do something great. Do something generous. Help me reach the nations, all right? So we'll be doing two back-to-back crusades, one in the northern part of Tanzania, and then we're going to go to Dar es Salaam, which is overwhelmingly Islamic. And we're going to do an open-air crusade that we've been there before, seen 8,000 to 10,000 a night in the crusades. And so many come out of Islam into the kingdom of God. And those who are out of sin, out of not just Muslims, but all kinds of people will come out. There'll be hundreds every night, many times thousands in a single night that will receive Jesus as Lord. So the seed that you're sowing will not be wasted seed. I'm not sure where you'll sow seed this year that will be any more fruitful than what's going to happen there. I can can say that without reservation, not with, well, not with cockiness or arrogance. I've just seen what God does there, and I know what he does is way bigger than me. It's way bigger than me. And he'll do it. He'll do it. He'll do it again and again and again. So your giving will help us first in the country of Tanzania, and after that we'll go to Kenya. And then a little later in the year, we're going to go to Nigeria and then back to Kenya again. That's our schedule. And there in London, we'll be in between. But would you help me for this first one? I was looking last night at the airfare to go on again, and it's thousands of dollars to get the airfare to get all the way through that far up into that. So you're giving, whatever you give tonight will help us cover that. Father, would you stir our heart, inspire us right now to reach out to touch the nations, to do something that will make a difference. Lord, there's people here right now that can sow a seed that will change the lives of young men that are going to come to that meeting and learn how to multiply that which we're doing. There's those that can fund even the flights getting on in there, the cost of that, even the crusade. Thank you for favor, power. Come on, would you listen to the voice of God? Let him speak to you right now. Do something way beyond what you planned on doing. Let him prompt you in faith to do something extraordinary. Amen. Amen. Thank you for your gift in that way, Lord. Praise God. Ushers, would you come and minister to the people? By the way, in your giving, make sure you make your check out to your local church here at the Vision Church. They're going to make one check available to me in the end. All right. I think you got a way to give online. Is that true? You have a way to give online? Okay. You all know how to do that? What do they do? Okay. Easy tithe. How do they get that? Do they know? Okay. They know. Beautiful. Thank you. Thank you for your compassion, your faithfulness in that way. High-level fruitfulness, Lord. That's what we're asking for. And for fruit that remains. Beautiful. Bless the name of Jesus. Good. Now, would you agree with me that that seed brings forth great harvest? All right? Not just a harvest to those of us that are in this room that have sowed the seed, and it will be, because we will never give and lack. We will never give and then lack. It will always bring a great supply to us. But yet the seed that we've sown, we're believing for a harvest, Lord, that is way beyond us. A harvest of souls, a harvest of miracles. Come on, a harvest of multiplied anointing around the world, specifically, oh God, in Africa, as that's the next step that we're taking. Thank you for great favor in that way. And I ask you to do one more thing before I anoint you, because then I'm going to just let you soak with God. If you have any kind of a smartphone on you or something that keeps calendar, would you mark the last 2 weeks of June? The last 2 weeks of June. Do that right now, if you would, please. The last 2 weeks of June. Because here's what I want you to do. You've sowed seed into what we're doing. Now sow some prayer in. You can do it, of course, at any point. But why don't you put a little marker on that, an alarm or something? That'll kick in, and the last 2 weeks, full 2 weeks of June, actually into the early part of July, is when I'll be there. And let the Holy Spirit lead you to pray. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Spirit. Pray in power. Do that. We'll be overcoming demonic forces there. We'll have a whole tent set up for nothing else each night but for people to be delivered from demons. And oftentimes that tent will be full completely for people that are going through deliverance. Believe God with us. Now it's the second, what is it? It's the second week of August that the Kenyan meeting will be. So mark that, please, if you will. Mark the second week of August. Just pray with us for a great outpouring. In Kenya, we're going to see right now at this point we've had, and I'll get a better number this year when I go back, but right now at this point, in addition to the open-air crusades, we've already seen over 300 girls come out of human trafficking and get into Christian homes and get an education and get a business skill so they'll never go back. That's a big part of what we do when we go into Kenya. We're structured for that. We've actually got a team that follows through on that after we are gone. And so we'll see between 30 to 50 girls that'll come off the streets the week that we go back again. We'll see 30 to 50 girls that'll come out of prostitution and into a clean lifestyle by the grace of God. It'll happen, all right? We also go into the penitentiaries, and we have ministry there. We've got revival that has started in the penitentiaries. We believe that we've water baptized over 900 men. Are you hearing this? We've water baptized over 900 men in the penitentiaries. In Kenya, they've actually allowed us to put a permanent baptistry right there and a Bible school. So there's ongoing training for them. Pray with us for the Kenyan crusade. Would you do that? I can go on and on, but I don't want to do that because I want to get to the anointing part. It's the first week of September that we'll be going into London and believing God for that. So mark that down to pray, if you will. And I've forgotten. When is it I'm going into Port Harcourt? It's the week before. I think it's 1 week before the week of Thanksgiving is when I'll go into West Africa. And we'll be doing huge, huge crusade there in Port Harcourt. Again, there'll be 8,000 to 10,000 people a night that will be in that. Last time we were there on a Saturday night, we had 1,000 people get the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Many, many, many healed. Saw a lady that hadn't stood up for 3 years because of a stroke, and before we could even get to preaching on Sunday morning in that big, great, big crowd, she jumped up and ran back and forth across the front of that place. And then the second week of December will be Nairobi. That's quite a year ahead of us. Quite a year ahead of us. Second week of December, Nairobi. If you can mark that down and let the Holy Spirit prompt you. When people pray, things happen. They really do. When people pray, things happen. Amen. In between time, we'll be in the United States, and God knows we need fasting and prayer here. Amen. Would you stand with me all over the room? And here's what I think I'll do. I think I'll start with this side right here. And I want you to come through in a line like this and just let me anoint you in the name of the Lord Jesus. And then find a place to just kneel. You can either go back to your seat or find a place up here. And then I'll take this side. I'm afraid if we get you all up here together, it might be a little hard to work through you all and grab you like that. So if you don't mind, maybe you could just come this way. And if you're here as a family, don't split up. Be together. Let the kids, mom, dad, whatever, husband, wife, kind of be in the line together. And come on. Yeah, let's do that. Lord, I'm speaking now a prayer of faith over this whole house. And I'm asking for a generational anointing. And when I touch these people with the oil of God, if they're sick, they'll be healed. If they're bound, they'll be free. Come on, that poverty ends in their household. Joy fills their life, not depressions. Thank you, Lord, for hope and faith and high-level fruitfulness, but not just for these that I touch, all that are connected to them and all that will come forth from them. Is anyone harmonizing with me on that? In every case and in everyone, not one of the families will be lost now. Come on, someone say with me, not one lost. Not one aunt, not one uncle, not one cousin. Come on, not one nephew. Are you with me? Come on, not one brother, not one sister, not one mother, not one father, not one child. No grandparents. In every direction, I prayed until the return of the Master himself. I don't pray it just upon these and the generations that we can touch or see or alive right now, but even those that will come. May the light of who you are shine upon them. Every curse is broken. And I say that again, every curse is broken. And there is an unstoppable, unending anointing release. May the light of God shine. Each one in the name of Jesus. Deeper depths.
find that place to soak in what God has done. I lay my hands on you and command the fruitfulness of God, the anointing of the Lord, the high-level blessing of God, health, His provision of wealth, His name be known in you. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Guys, we speak the name of the Lord now to you, the great name of Jesus that carries all that He is in your life. Be filled with Him to overflowing. Rich anointing, rich anointing. There's a sweet spirit here tonight. We speak the name of the Lord. May the filling of the Holy Ghost be known in your household. The riches of all that Christ does, the gift of God. Amen. My brother and sister, lay hands on you now. Jesus, power God being upon you, riches of Christ, the way of the Lord, in every generation. In every generation. And all and in all. Amen. Power from on high. Heaven's touching you now. The witness of Him who's all. Go beyond, man. Go beyond what you've ever thought, ever desired. Amen. New strength, new health, new joy. And a release anointing in your life in high level ways. Amen. Amen. Can I please take this side too? Everyone, everyone that will. Oh, how I greet you. Oh, how I is the eternal God, and His work will never end. It will be a It'll be full in you, day by day, and higher and greater the anointing of God. It completes the picture of God's will in your life, in Jesus' name, and in your household, and all that are connected to you. Ready? I take this anointing, an anointing that strengthens, powers, man's fruitfulness in you, power from on high, and the Hashemor Rossi, the wonderful name of Jesus. Oh, God, I give the hunger and the thirst within my brother and sister, and the fulfillment of the promise of God upon them. Amen. Amen. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. May I lay my hands on you, brother, that you experience in your life the fulfillment of the vision of the Lord, of the hope of God. Amen. Open your mind and your heart to all that He is now. And experience, let me know in every generation too that's connected with you. Glory to God. Amen. You ready? Come on. He's doing much in you. May it go to high levels. No ending to it. Transformation by the anointing of the Lord. Power from on high. Great transformation in Jesus' name to every generation, all that are connected to you. Amen. 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 You know, when you're believing God for that every generation, don't just think of those that are coming directly down your line. I want you to go ahead and think about those that, Lot was delivered from Sodom and Gomorrah, not because who he was, but because of Abraham. And Abraham wasn't his father or his grandfather, but he's his uncle. So, amen. Just keep on moving so I can get those that are waiting behind. Thank you so much. Amen. Hi, guys. You ready? Great family here. I lay my hands on you now because the power of the blood separates you, marks you, the covenant of the Almighty God, that you would hear His voice, you'd see His face, that you would know Him in the witness of His Spirit, that you'd be separated from this world, not like them, but different, powerful, and above. There'd be great fruitfulness in your life. In the mighty name of Jesus, promise fulfilled. Amen. Amen. What an honor. I lay my hands on you now in the wonderful name of Jesus, that you be filled with the Holy Ghost and power. Let the wonderful grace of God flood you, function in you, that you know Him in every generation. Amen. Amen. Everybody, I say in Jesus' name, be filled with the Holy Ghost and power. May the to be ongoing transformation, the light of God shining with you, and an anointing that is real, that you draw on, and you find that strength at all times, even in days of trouble, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I command his blessing upon you. The rightness, righteousness, the fullness, the purpose of the Lord, the gift of God, completes in you his purpose. Amen. Amen. Mera ketiko shakatiko la makata. Maturia de riasatashi. Is in your life, and the fullness of His Spirit is upon you. That you would know extreme fruitfulness now, to be different than what you've ever been before. There's an ongoing changing power of God works within us. May you be filled with Him over. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I'm going to anoint Debbie. Did you catch that? For the touch of God in our life and in our household, every generation to know, everyone, not one lost, not one derailed, not even momentarily, but a constant, consistent, focused course for every mother and daughter, those to come. Jesus' name. Oh, yeah.
great to be His, isn't it? Never let go of what God's given you. Don't give it up. Whatever hope He's given you, whatever vision He's given you, whatever promise you've heard from Him, never let go of it. Don't let a setback, don't let any derailment of the enemy keep you off track. Just get right back on track. That's the way that things have worked well for me as far as the purpose in my life, and even simple things such as a healing for my body. Not all the time, but there's been times when God has healed me, the enemy's challenged it. And I learned to do something, and Brother Sumrall said it to me one time at a table. He said, I just tell the devil no. That's what he said. I just tell the devil no. You understand that. Parents understand that. You ever have a child come up and say, I want such and such, and you think about it and say, well, no. But what does the kid do? Does the kid say, well, I guess that's it? Oh, no. He's going to be back in 3 minutes for the same thing. And then if you're parenting right, and you made a proper decision to start out with, then what you do is you just say, I told you no. And that's what Brother Sumrall told me. He does. I just tell the devil. He doesn't get on the boxing gloves and go around again and again. As I told you, no. And that's what we've learned to do. When God healed our daughter Ashley of asthma, the doctor told her she'd be a lifelong asthmatic. Some kids will grow out of it. Others don't. And when he said lifelong asthmatic, I understood what he said. I never had it, but I had a cousin that did. And he'd have asthma attacks well up to his 50s. And they said that of Ashley. We had to go before the throne. And then we had to tell the devil no. Because I'd like to say that when we prayed one time it was over with, but it was about a battle for 6 months. And I'd bring her again and again. She's just an infant into the presence of God. When I do it, the asthma attack would stop. Every time the enemy would step up, I'd say, now look, we told you no. That's it. And she's never had an asthma issue again, or any kind of a respiratory issue again. Never again. Never again. So, whatever it is, an area of faith in your life, fruitfulness in your life, course of ministry, and you feel like you've been derailed or whatever it is, just tell the devil no. Just get right back up. Don't think that an attack is the end of victory. That's just not true. That's just absolutely not true. Keep your eyes fixed on the promise. Whatever picture, vision he's given you, keep focused on it. Don't say, oh, but now this. No, there is no oh, but now this. Keep your eye right on that vision, that promise, that word of God, and you'll watch everything every time come right back into alignment with what He has. And that anointing that is in you to accomplish that will bring you all the way to your desired end. Amen. It's really not easy to stay healed. I mean, it's not hard to stay healed. It's really not easy to stay on course. It's really hard to get off course. As It's not hard to get up north. No, it's hard to get. Have you ever had ever taken your car off the road? That's hard. Getting back on the road is pretty easy. Isn't it? A whole lot easier to steer that baby on that road than it is off that road. Don't you think? Don't you let the enemy say, well, it's hard to stay on this path. No, it's not. The Bible says the way of the transgressor is hard. It doesn't say the way of the righteous is. It says the way of the transgressor is hard. Well, I know we have trials and temptations, but it's nothing like when you're out of the purpose. So remember that. You're geared, set, and designed to flow in the Spirit. You are. You're built for that. That's the way you work. Don't the enemy say that's contrary to you? You got to fight to get into that. It's just the opposite. That's the way you fit. That's why when you really enter the presence of God, whenever someone really enters a place of a glorious presence, it's never something that is out of place to them. Am I right? Don't you feel the best when you're in His presence? Isn't it true? I mean, there's a harmonizing, there's peace of mind. Health, all we come into the glory of the Lord. It's we kind of like Peter when he's, man, I wish we could just build 3 tabernacles and stay here. Because this is what you're built for. You're not built for fear. You're not built for sin. That's why it's so odd. That's why it's so destructive, disrupting, and disheartening. You're not built for that. You're built for righteousness. You're designed for fruitfulness. That's where you function best. Understand that? Believe it? Learn to tell the devil no and keep on going. Thank you for coming tonight. Now, there'll be another service. I won't be preaching it. It's going to be Sunday. I believe the man of God's going to be preaching it. Am I right? You're preaching on Easter, Resurrection Day here. Are you doing the Friday too or no? Okay, so there you go. You got all the way to Sunday to fill the house. Bring a friend with you. Don't come alone. Don't come alone. There you are. There you go. Something's going on. Sometimes she listens to better preachers while I'm preaching. She does gets Shambach on there or something. All right. Thank you, my friend. Thank you for the honor of coming again and working with you and these people. I appreciate it. Don't take it for granted.
And one of these days, I'll be with you at least for a week in Africa.
Oh, I'd like that. Wouldn't you like him to do that?
Yeah.
You need to make sure he follows through on that with
Tanzania.
Yeah, okay.
So we'll see what we can do. Missions or something. Go there, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Let's all stand to our feet. I'm going to release you from this place. We're closing out the services now officially. We're going to continue them right on to Sunday, right? And we're going to just continue to flow. The Lord's opening up some streams here. He's going to do some things in the areas of grace and release.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to say yes to that. So, Lord, thank you, and we continue to say yes to you.
Good.
We say amen to you. You have established your yes in the heavens, and to that we're going to say yes, so be it.
Amen.
And so now, Lord, we also pray just your hand of guidance, protection, and mercy on Dale and Debbie as they get
Praise
ready
God.
To go back to Chicago. Lord, there are some things in their personal life and in their family that need to be worked out and some pathways that need to be laid before them. Lord, we're just asking for a superabundant, amazing, miraculous door opening.
Good.
Lord, to just bring comfort to their hearts and to establish their feet in the place that they need to be. We just ask, Lord, for your great provision and protection all along the way. And we thank you. We thank you for the gift. Of Dale and Debbie. It's a gift that just keeps giving because your grace just keeps flowing. It's your fault, Lord. We blame you. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.
God
Lord bless
you guys.
Hey, bring some people are really thinking about going to church on Easter.
It's really true. Yeah. They do. They will.
They're thinking about it. So there's some people who don't usually go you need to invite. And I guarantee you we'll preach about the resurrection.
Oh, nice.
And I guarantee you they'll have an opportunity to respond in faith.
Good.
To the message of the gospel.
Fair enough? I like that.
Amen. Lord bless you as you go. We'll see you Sunday.
That's right. Grabs. Oh, yeah. And get some of those CDs
on Saturday,
as you
we'll
go.
We'll be going from 9:30 to about 11:30. We'll have some breakfast together and then get out and knock some doors and do some inviting on the last 104 houses in Lake Worth that we want to reach. Bless you as you go.